It is that season of where we celebrate Christmas and the birth of Christ, and so we are in December full blown now, and so sometimes when you put a Christmas series together, some message and things, you know, you say, okay, I know the story from here to there, but today I want to share the parts of this story of Christmas and different parts that we may not talk much about, but it's about family. I want to talk to you about family today. I want to talk to you about our dysfunctional families. And I would probably say that most of us are, question to you is, does your family have it all together? You got some dysfunction in your family? You have that golden child that seems to do no wrong. At least mom and dad says they do no wrong, but you see it all the time. Or if my grandkids, they're not in here now, but all these little kids, they would know if I said this. every family seems to have a Bruno, you know. We don't talk about Bruno. No. We don't talk about Bruno. Every family has Brunos, and today you might be one of those individuals in your family that everybody just runs away from. Maybe it's legit reasons, maybe it's not, or maybe your family is just so good, and I'm glad if your family is just blessed and you guys just have it going on, hang in there, you'll have one, and I always say this, if you can't find one, go in the bathroom and look in the mirror. And you'll see one right in front of you. I want to talk to you today that Jesus also comes from a family. His family, parts of his family was all messed up. His family was pretty messed up. And we're going to talk about Jesus' family tree today. But I do got a question I got to ask you first. I got to ask you a question. Do you believe that God can do anything. There's nothing impossible for God. I hope that you believe that there is nothing impossible for God. It says in Luke 1:37, this whole thing when Mary and the angel were talking back and forth, he said, "For with God nothing will be impossible. Nothing is impossible." But something I don't understand as believers, You see, there's a problem. This is why we have to have theology and doctrine. Jesus was born from as a virgin birth. But a lot of people struggle with that. A lot of Christians struggle with the virgin birth. They believe that God created the sun and the moon and the earth and people, but they struggle with the virgin birth. It's a stumbling block to them. They struggle with it. I don't understand it. But people have struggled with it. I've heard people actually say, "I don't believe in the virgin birth." Well, I don't know, but my Bible tells me, and your Bible should tell you, there's a virgin birth. So we have to get beyond. So I'm asking you today: do you believe in that? And you need to wrestle through that. Do you believe in the virgin birth? Now, the three parts of God's family, and there's three parts of Jesus' family here in his family tree. I have a family tree. As I look in my family tree, I don't remember everybody, but then somebody did one of those genealogies, and they'll put, you know, it always seems like everybody in your genealogy is a superstar. Nobody puts down, "Oh, he was a drunk. He went to prison. He was no good. She did this, she did that." Nobody puts the bad stuff. Everybody wants to put it. Everybody does go back to genealogy and say, "Yep, I was related to so-and-so. And always some famous person." Well, Jesus has a family tree. And so I want to talk to you about the three parts of Jesus' family tree. Now, God is Jesus' true father. There we go. Right? We know that God is the father of Jesus. We know that God is the true father of Jesus. That's what Jesus would always be praying and say, "My Father." And we know that. Mary is the fleshly mother of Jesus. Okay? Mary is the mother of the fleshly mother of Jesus. She carried Jesus in her womb, being that virgin. And we know that Joseph is the adopted dad He is the dad of Jesus there here on the earth. And he's welcomed into his family, because we know that Joseph was like, hey, you know what, I'm going to divorce her in secret. And the Holy Spirit, you know, the angels came and said, hey, no, this is what God has done. And so he accepted it. So he's taking in Mary and taking in this baby, will be named Jesus. And so he becomes the adopted. He becomes pretty much the father here on earth. Now I want to share a couple of things before I get into it. So here it is. Jesus, is his birth is both legal. It's a legal right and a fleshly right. His son to be the Messiah. Okay? So what we do is we look through the book of Matthew. So we know that legally he is the heir. And we know that in the flesh he's also the heir through Mary. And so we see that they both come through the line of David. Now what we do is we look through this piece here. This is going to be a little bit. So we look through the piece of Matthew. Matthew, the book of Matthew gives us a genealogy all the way up through Joseph. Okay? And there was also the genealogy also of Jesus also in Luke chapter 3. Now if you look at it into Matthew, what you'll see is through Joseph, you'll see that Joseph, it runs all the way back to Solomon. And then there's David. Okay? Mary's side, you'll run it all the way back over in Luke chapter 3. It's in reverse order and difference, but it'll stop at Nathan, which is also David's son. So their family tree goes like this, right up to David, because the Messiah was going to come from King David's line. So God does it even with the adopted, even with Joseph being the fleshly father, that it still runs up through David. God knows what he's doing, folks. God knows what he's doing. And with all of this, he knows what he's doing. But both of these were sons of King David. And so we see Joseph's line goes up there to King David, and so does Mary's line. But what we do is when we look through those lines and we see those people, we see people like Rahab in there. We see Tamar in there. We see some others that are in there, that are just some really people that have just really lived some sinful lifestyles. We see all kinds of things in here. We see prostitutes, adulterers in there. We see deceivers and liars. And we see schemers. And we see showing a lot of favoritism. We see sexual sinful things and just unfaithfulness to God and total abandonment. And God knew all that. Yet he allowed his son to be born and be part of this family tree. This family tree. This family tree is filled with sin, just like your family tree. You know that some of you have secrets in your family that you don't talk about. You have things in your family that you don't talk about. There's things that you've done that you won't talk about. There's things that people's done in the family. They say it stops right here. And then we find out that sometimes it really doesn't. But we have things in our family that has caused a lot of pain and suffering. And there's been individuals in our family that's caused a lot of pain and suffering. And so some of those things we try to keep as a secret. What I want to share today is all of our families has problems. My family has problems too. And then I look in the past, it had a lot of problems. Drinking was big. It was big. It was big. It took an aunt and an uncle, and my aunt and my uncle both. Alcohol is a monster. It's a beast. It's a beast. For somebody else's family is something else. And somebody else's family is two or three things or is four things or whatever it may be. And we see those names, we see them pop up. I wanted to share with you what do we get from those things that God does work with messy people. He works with messy people. Jesus works with messy people. God chose it to be this way, that he wanted his son to go through and away. Jesus didn't walk out of heaven and just land on the seashore and say, I'm here. He didn't do that. He could have done that. God could have chose to do that, but he didn't do that. He didn't do that at all. I wanted to go over to Hebrews for a moment. God chose Jesus to do something in a way, and Jesus did it in a way that would have a huge impact. Now I want you to continue to think about your family as we pedal through this a little bit. Our families are struggling. If you're here today, I pray that you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that you have your salvation, that you do what the Scripture says, work out your salvation, which means that you are being faithful to God, and you work it out on the good days and the bad days, and you're just going to stay committed to Christ, and you continue to be what God has called you to be in this world. That's working out your salvation, knowing solidly that you have that salvation. But you know, not everyone in your family has that. Not everyone in your family has that. And you want them to, don't you? I want my family all to come to Christ. I do. I got family living far away from Christ. I got family members that are living in sin, doing whatever they want to do, and that doesn't stop me from loving them. And I hope that you love even the Brunos in your family as well. What we see here is in Hebrews chapter 2, there's a couple of pieces in Scripture today that I want us to work through. Because this whole thing of Christmas is God just loving the world so much that He gave His Son. God wanting people to come to Him. And He made a way and He made a door and He opened it up using His Son Jesus to come here on earth. But He did it in a way that wasn't the way that you would think it to be. He says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16, for it is clear that He does not reach out to angels. That's talking to Jesus. Jesus is not reaching out to angels, but to help Abraham's offspring. Therefore, He had to be like His brothers and sisters in every way, so that He could become a merciful and faithful high priest in matters pertaining to God, and to make atonement for the sins of the people. For since He Himself has suffered when He was tempted, He is able to help those who are tempted. God sent Jesus here to also experience what it means to be human. He didn't sin, but He was human. And what we see here is this piece here. He says, and to help, He didn't come to help angels, but He came to help Abraham's offspring. You know, today, I also have three parts of my family tree too. I have my fleshly father, I have my fleshly mother, and I have my heavenly father. Just like you, if you've received Christ, you become, the Bible says that you become engrafted into it. You become adopted into the family of God. And so there's a part of that being Abraham's offspring. We're part of that promise that God made Abraham many, many, many years ago. But it came that he would be able to be like his brothers and sisters, something that he could experience and know what it means, not to just to be to walk off of out of heaven and on the seashore at the age of 30, but also to experience what's it going to be, what's it like for a 10-year-old child to live in the world. Even at 10, he was perfect. But still to rub shoulders and with people at 13 and know what it's like to go through those things and know what it's like to be at 15 and 20. But he says this, that he had to be like his brothers and sisters in every way so that he could become merciful. What? So that he become merciful. He got around people and he saw what was wrong with the families. Families are messy. Families are messy. We have sin in our families. But he said so that he could become merciful. I'm thankful for God's mercy today. And many of you know your past and you should be thankful, like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for mercy. But he says, and be faithful as a high priest in the matters pertaining to God. He never kept his eyes off of his heavenly father, even though he was living in this world. But what was the whole purpose? It tells us there to make an atonement for the sins of the people. He is going to sacrifice himself as an atonement for the people. That is what this Christmas is all about. God sending a special gift. And the gift is priceless. And he's going to allow him to grow up in messy families all around him. so he can feel and know what it's like to be human. Because he's going to die for every human being. You want him to know and feel and see it. On mercy at that level. And he also understands this, what it's like to be tempted. He says, for he himself was also suffered when he tempted. When he was tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. Did you see the word suffering? You kind of skim over that. Temptation can be suffering when it's such a temptation. When you keep pushing it away, you keep standing strong, you're suffering through that because temptation keeps clawing at you, wanting you to cave in. But he went through that and he came out unscathed on the other side. And so now the scripture says now he is able to help us because he understands and has been through it and seen it. For each family, we all of our families, I'm just reminding you, families are messed up. I'm going to keep saying that because families are messed up until you own it. You need to own it and you need to own that you're a part of it. But you can say, yes, our family's messed up. I messed up, but I have Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I'm trying not to earn my salvation. I'm just trying to live the years when I got left for Him, for the years I was just living for myself. Giving to Him what He's given to me. He gave me His life, and I want to give my life to Him. But we also see in chapter 4, verse 14, there's also something else that's pretty awesome that we see. He says in verse 14, therefore, since we have a great high priest, that being Jesus, who has passed through heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. We don't have a high priest who says, I'm almighty, all this and that. But we have one who sympathizes, who understands our weaknesses. Praise God for that. Praise the Lord that He understands, He knows, He sympathizes with how and what we go through. We got to remember that Jesus feels too. And I don't think we kind of grasp that sometimes. God has feels, He feels too. Genesis chapter 6, it says He grieved that He made man. And there was a moment where God grieved about man. That's a feeling, that's a peace. Where it says even God grieved that He made man. Because man's mind was just all depravity and everything was just horrible. But we don't have a Savior. We don't have a high priest, Jesus, that doesn't understand. We have one that does sympathize, understands and knows what we're going through. He grew up with brothers and sisters. He saw what they did. He saw what they did. He loved them, but He saw what they did. Sometimes there's brothers that push a little hard, right? Sometimes there's sisters that can push hard. Somebody's got to be the tough one. Somebody's got to be the one to lead. Someone's got to be the mean one. One's got to be the runt of the bunch. One's got to be the mouthy one. The one's got to get in trouble all the time. The one that never gets in trouble all the time. That's called family. It's called family. He says, but He is one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. It's another reminder. Even though He was tempted, He was without sin. But the sad part is, unfortunately, man, we've all been tempted and we've all fell into it. And Jesus goes, I get it. God says, I love you so much. That's why I'm sending Him. I sent Him. Because the only way to get out of that and take care of that is by the sacrifice. The atonement, that Jesus came to be that atonement for our sins. But He says, therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness. Because we know this, we should be able to approach that throne of grace with boldness. And I think we struggle with that sometimes. Because sometimes we have sin in our life and we don't want to go to the throne of grace in boldness. We want to do it in a shy manner. Sometimes we have something in our hearts that we want to pray about, but we fear God in some of the wrong ways. And so we don't go to Him in boldness. But the scripture says we need to go in boldness. Because what do we need to do and ask for? He says this, therefore let us approach the throne of grace in boldness so that we may receive mercy. What did we just read over there in chapter 2? Therefore, he had to be like his brothers and sisters in every way so that he could become a merciful and faithful high priest, Savior of the world. Mercy. Merciful. I go to God. I when I go to pray, I'm asking the Lord for his mercy. I don't deserve what I have. I didn't do anything great and awesome to deserve what I have. But it's just not grace. It's also our mercy. It's also grace. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need. Now it's time to get real. If Scripture tells us that we can experience this, he's speaking, the writer is saying, all of us, we should approach the throne of grace. This is the experience Scripture. This is the part there where we're talking about other things. That's learning the history. That's learning the context and the culture. Sometimes things in Scripture will tell you about culture. This is the part of experiencing Scripture that the Lord wants us to experience. So this is what it's saying. The Lord's telling us, listen, you need to approach the throne of grace with boldness so that you may receive mercy and grace and find grace to help you in a time of need. If the Lord is telling us that we need to approach the throne of grace so we may find mercy and find grace with the Lord so that he can help us in that time of need, then we ought to do that. Amen? How many of you have children that are not living for the Lord? How many of you have a marriage that isn't working well? How many of y'all looking at a spot where you're like, you know what, I go to work and I can't stand my job and it's so bad, the environment is just it's just toxic. And temptation every day. How many of you are fighting something in your life that no one knows about? You're fighting thoughts in your that you can't take captive because they're just there and they're bombarding you. And here it is that they could be sinful thoughts, a temptation that the darkness is battling with you, or it can be in another area that you're having thoughts of other things that you shouldn't be having thoughts of, or your mind is all over the place in areas it shouldn't be. I'm telling you, here it is that God is saying that we can come to the throne of grace, find mercy, find grace. And he helps us. Folks, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't get more simpler than that. And the reason this is available is because God loves us so much that Jesus came down, not on the beach, not out of a wood line, but as a baby, a virgin birth, born into two fleshly families, but born in, has three family there, a fleshly mother, fleshly father, was adopted, and God being his father. And he knew all that, but when he come here, he began to work and live among men and women and see how life is. And he sympathizes with us. And he challenges us to come and experience the power of the Scripture that says, approach the throne of grace with boldness. Ask. This is what we're missing in churches. This is what we're missing. We learn it, we preach it and teach it, we learn it, but we don't apply it. And we're never told how to experience the power of the Scripture. Salvation, yeah, we do that. We do the baptism part. But there are Scriptures all throughout Scripture that God tells us to do something. And we miss out on God's blessing because we don't do it. We think about it, but we don't do it. If he says to approach the throne of grace with boldness so that you may receive mercy and find grace to help us, to help you in a time of need. That's what we are supposed to do. Come to him through his throne, pray, seek mercy to find his grace that he gives to you. Not always what you need, but he hears you and he gives you what you need to have. And sometimes he gives you exactly what you need, what you want. Sometimes he adjusts it. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. But when you come to the throne of grace, you know what's happening? You are talking to him. You're having intercession with him. And that's exactly what God wants. That's why he's restoring people through salvation to himself, that he might have and receive them back, that which was lost. That's it. Come back. Be redeemed. Redemption. And if I'm doing great, then I have to look at my family, because spiritual leaders, men, spiritual leaders of your family, how's your family? How is your family? You patriarchs, monarchs of your family, when you get older, some of you become patriarchs, some of you become monarchs. And you're leaders of the full clan of the family. And when everybody else is talking about a family member, you're hurting inside, because you know some of that could be true, but you love them. You love them. Then you see family members fighting against family members, and this family don't talk. They talk about this family member, but then there's the spiritual family, the ones that are living. They may struggle with some of that, but here it is. They are loving them, praying for them, praying for our families. Not a day goes by that I don't pray for my family. But also, as you grow in your walk with the Lord, you find out that it's not just your bloodline family. You begin to pray for your other family members, because you're brothers and sisters in Christ. So you pray for others that may not be blood-related in the sense of your fleshly blood, but you're related by the blood of Jesus Christ. So I have no problem praying for Jeremy. I have no problem praying for Pastor Phil and Pat. I have no problem praying for Janice or Pam or Brittany and her surgery. I have no problem praying for people in this church, because you're part of my family as well, those that know Christ. But I also know, as you continue to grow in Christ, you find out that it's not just about your family that you were born into. It's not just about the family of being brothers and sisters in Christ, but you're also praying about the earthly family. We're all human, that you begin to pray for lost people. Not just people in your family, but you're praying for lost people. Praying for Israel, because we're called to. Praying for Hamas, because we're allowed to. The scripture says, pray for your enemies. Sometimes it's hard, but you pray for your enemies. And you find out, when you start growing in Christ, you start praying for specific, and your prayer life gets bigger, and you find out that there's a lot more people involved in your prayer life. So when you go to you approach the throne of grace, and you find out today, you can say, today, Lord, I'm not praying for my family. You know where my heart is, but today I'm praying for this person. I'm praying for these people. I'm praying for that family. I want to remind you that your prayers are powerful if you live the way God wants you to be. I'm just saying that's part of Scripture too, in the book of James. Your prayers are powerful because God's Word says so. But it doesn't mean that if you're in sin, if you reach out to God, He's not hearing you. He will hear you. When you come with your whole heart and you say, Lord, I have sinned. Lord, help me. The Lord hears the heart before he hears the mouth. And my challenge really today is knowing that we need to be praying for mercy and grace, that we have found it, that we need to continue to experience this scripture, but also that we may start to include other people that are in our family. And parts of people that are in our bigger family in the church. The crowd this size, it's not a huge crowd, but it's big enough to say that I guarantee you that there are some of us here today that are struggling in our family. Somehow we're struggling in our personal family. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You can go sulk. You can go do what some people do. I'm going down and sit up at the bar and I'm going to get me some, drinks. I'm going to do this. I'm going to drink it away. I'm going to forget about it. I'm going to go use. I'm going to go do something. I'm going to forget about it. What my family did to me. I'm going to forget about my family. No. You can do those things, but I'd rather experience the power of God and do what this scripture says. I'm going to approach the throne of grace. Folks, I got some Brunos in my family. I got some in my family that is, I'm just telling you. You want to hear more? You just go talk to Carla. She'll tell you about her Brunos and her family. But you know what? We're married. She has a family tree, and I have a family tree. We come together, we make another branch in the family tree. Now our families come together, and we really got some problems. But this is what I know. When a family tree begins to start to receive Christ on who He is and believe, that family tree begins to change. That family tree begins to move and arc in a different way than it may have been before, as crooked or whatever it may be. Once Christ comes in and is allowed, salvation happens at a father and then a wife and a mother, and then as children are grown up. And it doesn't mean that they may not go off in left field somewhere, but they heard the word. But then we find out that these families, we start finding more solid goodness in the families. And that's through and only by the blood of Jesus Christ. Salvation can change a family tree. I truly don't think I would be doing what I'm doing, being a Christian, if it wasn't for my father. Some of you know him, some of you knew him. But he was a typical man who'd drink and just smoke, and none of you said, I'd never heard those things. He used to swear all the time and do all those things. And some of you that knew him knows, like, Jim would never do what? But when I saw my dad come to Christ, I said, that. I got a new dad. Now I don't live in fear of that big man. I got a new dad. Put his hand on my shoulder, whatever, is different. Wasn't afraid to get in trouble. It was a softer hand now. It was a loving hand. And we were praying at the dinner table, and we were going to church, and that, you know what? And I give all that credit to Jesus Christ. Because he understands and he sympathizes and understands and knows. And he's asking me and you today also that we can do the same, as we can approach the throne of grace boldly, knowing that I'm not going with unbelief. I'm going with belief, that I'm going to talk to the Father. I'm going to talk to Jesus about my family. And about as messed up as my family is, I always start with me. Lord, help me be more to the image that you want me to be. When my dad stopped drinking and all that and got saved, we had a bar downstairs. He came in and he just kind of took his big foot and kicked it once, and it just collapsed. And what are you doing, Dad? That's going out. You see, down in there, we had a party one time. My dad had a party one time. I was probably about 9. It was a drinking party. You know, drink as much as you want to drink. And the man in there said, he said, hey, come right here, boy. I didn't know who that guy was. He pulled me by the arm. I'm like 9 or 10. He pulled me up into his chair and he started to say, come on, let's wrestle. He put me in a chokehold. And I couldn't breathe. And I couldn't say anything. And then I think it was my mother came over and said, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I'm just teaching this boy something. And I want to tell you that finally he let me go. My mom made him let me go. And I went upstairs. You know what I was trying to do? Get away from every single adult in that basement. And I didn't like how people acted when they drank. My grandmother was choked by my grandfather because he was drunk and almost killed her in the night. My grandfather was drunk and shot at my dad in our house. Drinking is ugly in my family. But when my dad tore that bar down, I knew that something's changing. And I give all of it to the saving blood of Jesus Christ. His thing was, I served myself all these years, and this is where I'm at. And then he said, now I'm serving Jesus, and I'm giving 100%. And you know that he was on a bus and traveled, sang and all that stuff. And our family tree began to change. We got some color in the tree. The dead branches started blooming again. And I'm praying that it continues to bloom with me and my brothers as we continue our family tree. And sometimes it can look kind of shaky. But my faith is in Jesus Christ. You can't change the soul. You can't force your kids to do anything, especially when they're adults, you can't. You just might have the honor to speak into their life if they let you. But you know, if they want me to pray for them or they don't let me speak into their life or any of those things, you know what I can do? I can experience the Scripture. I can approach the throne of grace with boldness. And so that I may receive mercy on what? On my family, on my children, on my grandchildren, on whatever it is that they might receive mercy and they might find grace in the time of the need of help, even though they may not realize it. Somebody needs to stand in the gap. Because someone stood in the gap for my father. It was a baseball coach. The team I played on. Who invited my father, and talk to him about Jesus. Somebody was praying for our family tree before I even knew it. He was praying for someone outside his fleshly family tree, outside of his church, and other believers in Christ. He was praying for that unsaved family tree. And I thank God that he experienced approaching the throne of grace. And that man's name was Bob. And Bob came and told me, Jimmy, I've been praying for you and your family ever since you got on my team. Because baseball is not just about baseball, buddy. It's about me using it as an opportunity to share the gospel. Praise God for coaches like that. And he is with the Lord today. God loves families. And God loves your family. And God loves your Brunos. Father, as we get ready to close this out in this portion of preaching, we pray, Lord, that we might experience this part where we can approach the throne of grace. And today, this is the opportunity to come and plead for mercy and grace upon our family, upon ourselves, upon whoever it may be that we need to pray for today. May your will be done and may our hearts be pulled toward you. And I thank you again for these scriptures today. That there are some in there that this tells us experience the power of this scripture. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's